And you're listening to Morning Edition on your community NPR station, 89.1 WEMU. Coronavirus cases continue to spike across the nation, including here in Michigan. The hardships COVID-19 continue to cause are only growing. Most every Friday, we check in with 12th District Congressional Representative Debbie Dingell for insights on these issues from a federal perspective, and thank you for the time today.
Good morning, David, and it's always good to be with you, and I look forward to Fridays.
You know, it was interesting. You did something yesterday. Independent bars and restaurants account for about 75% of all bars and restaurants in America. And in the month of April alone, more than 5.5 million restaurant workers lost their jobs. Yesterday, you held a Zoom chat with a couple of our locals who have been hurt in this way. Ari Weinzweig is co-founding partner in the Zingerman's Community of Businesses, and Melvin Parson is the founder of the We the People Opportunity Farm nonprofit organization. What are they telling you?
You know, I would actually encourage people to go to my official page and watch this 30-minute segment. I don't think any of us cannot imagine Zingerman's being in our communities. Ari's worried. He has a very real emotional raw talk about what is happening to the restaurant industry and the people that work for him and how much he cares about taking them. I'll tell you this now, because he sort of did yesterday. That first weekend we came back from Washington, and then the week after, Ari calls me regularly. He was crying because he had had to lay off 8 managers and a significant number of employees. He thinks of them as his family, and they care about the community, and yet they're just getting by, and they're trying hard, and they're better off than a lot of others. You know, these kinds of restaurants are gathering places. They're where we make memories. They're where we celebrate. They're where we try to build somebody up after something that's a hard time. It's just, and they're in trouble. And we need to know they're in trouble. When we can take out from them, we should try to take out. But I had on the phone with me yesterday, Herb Blumenauer, one of my colleagues from Oregon, who has introduced a bill to help restaurants, and I was one of his early co-sponsors. And there's so many people right now, David, we're at a cliff. Next week, a cliff is going to hit. Some of the small businesses are going to hit cliffs. Restaurants are going to hit cliffs. People who are on unemployment, I mean, my phone calls are increasing again by hundreds, probably into the thousands in the last 10 days again. What's going to happen with rent and mortgage? People are scared, and it's not through any fault of their own. So we need to get a bill. I did probably use language I shouldn't have used yesterday and told the Senate they should get off their plank and do it. We passed our bill 2 months ago that we'll work with them on that would help restaurants, that would extend unemployment, that would have a rent and mortgage relief fund and a landlord relief fund. And if someone's got COVID, they shouldn't worry about having the test and staying home for 14 days. That danger hasn't gone away.
Well, the fact of the matter is, Congress doesn't return until next week in order to continue negotiations on that stimulus package. But as you mentioned, the $600 unemployment benefit will come to an end on July 25th, and that package will not be passed by that time. So when you talk about...
Well, I didn't say that for sure.
Well,
I wouldn't put bets on it, but the Senate can act. We could get it done. We go back this weekend, and the Senate's in Monday, too. And they could get their act together and do something. I keep saying they're going to have to do this. They have the same feelings about people that I do. They're worried. But then I remember, well, they didn't care that they shut the government down and who got hurt. But it's not for sure it won't happen. And the United States Senate could act next week and prevent that from happening.
So where do you see this going? What is the package going to look like? It is not going to be what the House proposed, but it certainly seems to be a modified version of that, maybe with lesser amounts.
I know that I've had many conversations with Nancy Pelosi in the last couple of weeks, and she has non-negotiable items. One of them is an extension of unemployment, and one of them is...
At the $600 level?
Yes, and for direct aid to state, not to states, to local and municipal governments. You know, that's another problem. A lot of cities are really, really facing crises. The state's not getting money to them. They're having to look at laying off frontliners, police, fire, and those are her non-negotiables. And I do believe that there'll be rent and mortgage relief as well.
Our conversation with 12th District Congresswoman Debbie Dingell continues on 89.1 WEMU as we continue our dialogue on social justice as well and investment in equality. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer yesterday unveiled a plan to invest $350 billion that would be targeted to aid communities of color that have been disproportionately affected by COVID-19. It would include money for things like child care, job training, at-risk youth initiatives, housing tax credits, anti-poverty programs, and more. Any chance this gets included in the relief package that is being negotiated?
I do believe that some of it may be. I mean, one of the things that we are not talking about that is becoming an enormous crisis is child care. You know, many people, you'll hear people say, oh, they don't want to come back to work because of this, this, or this. The number one issue a lot of people aren't coming back to work for is child care. And we don't know what's going to happen with schools, whether they're going to be open or not. And I, with a number of my other colleagues, are really focused on the need to do something about child care as well. So I don't think we can leave for this summer without addressing that issue either, since the future of schools is so up in the air. You know, I'm going to tell you this, David. We were supposed to be in for 2 weeks and then out for August. I don't think we're going to be out at the end of July. I think we will stay. And we have a responsibility to stay. We have parents and children across the country that don't know what they're going to do about school this fall. We are seeing spikes across this country. We have a lot of work to do, and our job is to be there and get the work done.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because all week we've been watching parents in Detroit protesting the fact their kids may be in harm's way because of in-person summer school instruction and public school busing. This week we learned that about a third of all children tested in Florida have returned positive for COVID-19. We're hearing from bus drivers and teachers they simply don't feel safe returning to school. So if you were to venture a guess, based on what we know today, are schools going to open?
I think it's going to be on a district-by-district basis. I think every district's got to reach that decision with its teachers, who I know are now being surveyed in a number of communities, with their parents, who are also being surveyed, and with local officials. Lansing Public School yesterday announced they would not open in the fall. I think we're going to see more announcements like that. But then if schools do not open, we have to, one of the other things that's in the HEROES bill and is absolutely critical and is a problem in Washtenaw County, is that many people don't have access to internet or to broadband. We had a rural broadband bill in there. We have to address those issues, because your education, a child's education, is how we equalize all children. And we can't have better off communities not having the same issues that some of our urban issues do, and quite frankly, in Ypsilanti, we have to make sure the schools have the resources that they need and that all of those young people have that same opportunity, and that's going to require work and investment.
And when we talk about investment and work, there has been nobody or no field that has worked harder than our frontline healthcare workers. They have been through unimaginable situations, and unfortunately, in all too many areas, we are starting to go through it again. Is something going to be done in this package to supplement the experience that healthcare workers have gone through?
So in the HEROES bill that we passed 2 months ago, there was hazard pay for starters for frontline workers, and we continue to address issues like testing, which I think will have to be included again, in PPE material, which I think even the coldest of Republicans recognize is a problem. This week, we marked up 30 bills for truly a new experience, and a significant number of them had to deal with the stockpile supply chain, how we're ensuring that if we are unfortunately, I think many people think we are going to see another spike this winter, and combined with the flu, it could be deadly. What are we doing right now to make sure we are addressing those shortages so that we are prepared this fall? That, for me, is one of the number one issues I am going to be working on next week.
As you mentioned, the HEROES bill passed by the House 2 months ago, still waiting on negotiations with the Senate to get that bill completed and implemented. As we look back on what we learned from the CARES package, we know that a lot of the money that was included there was inappropriately directed. Tax cuts for the rich exceed what was actually spent in the bill. Will there be oversight measures in the HEROES measure to prevent that from happening again?
Well, you know, we've tried to set up an oversight board. Republicans have not been great at helping get it up and off the ground. It will still be there, trying to hold people accountability. You know, we demanded transparency. They tried to fight us on it, but finally they began to release who did get those funds last week, and we've seen the subsequent stories. And I think there will be renewed pressure for the accountability board, the need to get it up, and the need to be transparent and to hold people responsible for the spending that's occurring and making sure it's going to the right people.
Representative Dingell, as always, I appreciate the time, and I will look forward, and hopefully we'll have more and new information to report when we chat again next week.
I look forward to it. I'll be coming to you from Washington, and we may know a little more. I hope we know a lot more by next Friday.
That is, once again, 12th District U.S. Representative Debbie Dingell. I'm David Fair, and you are listening to 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.